Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Kevin Stefanski, I said before, I don't know that it matters. We always seem to make a big deal trying to overhype these coaches, but I love the fact, little things, again, that he says you guys, when you're interviewing him, he says your names when he talks to you. And the fact that he's so prepared and is less cliche than most coaches, right. Again, does that mean he's going to win? No, but I think it's impressive.
Yeah, you know, he really has handled this, as well as you could expect anyone to handle it. I mean, go figure, he finally gets his shot to be an NFL head coach, and now this is what he has to deal with. And I know, certain people wouldn't feel all that sorry for him, but when you're stepping in to try and take over the worst franchise in the National Football League to get this thing turned around and turned around in a big way, and then you come in and you can't even put players on a practice field safely, and you got to install your offense through video conferencing and emails and those type of things, I kind of feel for the guy, but he has such a presence about him that, you know, when he speaks, he commands your attention. He commands your respect. And there's substance behind his words as well. He just doesn't speak. A lot of times when he says things, he's backing them up with action. And I think that is something that leaders do. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how you get people to follow you, when they see that you're not full of it. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski really has come off just a genuine, good guy. We'll see what kind of a head coach he's going to be. But I've really been impressed how he's handled a very difficult yet impossible situation.
Daryl, what do you make of his comments on Baker and really him being able to pick this offense up through the Zoom calls?
Well, he seems pretty pleased with Baker and everyone, even the assistant coaches we've talked to this offseason, Dustin, have been really impressed, not just at Baker picking up the offense, but him dropping into other positional meetings to kind of, make sure that other people have picked it up as well and that everybody's on the same page. I think that's yet another positive sign as far as Baker's growth and his maturity as not only the quarterback, but the de facto leader on the field of this franchise. The fact that he's going above and beyond, he's not just doing the bare minimum. He's, making sure that he's able to pick his teammates up and kind of push them along a little bit.
One other question I have for you, Daryl, is, the comments on Kareem Hunt, or at least your thoughts, I guess, and maybe not Stefanski's thoughts, but your thoughts on Kareem Hunt the other day, saying he wants to be here long term.
Well, the Browns are going to enter a unique situation here starting in 2021, that off season, where not everyone's going to be able to be paid. Let's say Kareem Hunt has the type of year that we think he's capable of, right, coupled with Nick Chubb. Chubb's going to be due for a contract extension. And I think that the reality of the business of the NFL is going to hit this football team at some point. I think it's great that, yes, he seems committed and wanting to be here. I don't know that that's going to be feasible unless he's willing to take a hometown kid type of a discount and not go out and pursue market value. But again, I really think Dustin, at some point here, with all this talent, and there's a ton of it, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, what usually breaks the teams apart are, you know, guys getting paid their market value. And I think at some point that will ultimately be something that the Browns are going to have to deal with.
Daryl, Dustin and I were talking earlier about Jamal Adams, and Dustin actually asked Zach Jackson off the air what he thought it would take to get Jamal Adams. We were talking about for Odell Beckham, and we came up with Jamal Adams for Odell Beckham in a third-round pick, and Dustin and I agreed we would do it if we were the Browns. Would you?
I would consider it, but I really, really want another year of OBJ and Jarvis together and mixing him in with Hooper. I really want to see this offense as it's currently constituted on paper. I really want to see that, but that would be difficult for me to pass up, no question.
Would you do it if it was a second round pick? If you had to give up a second?
Do I get to keep Odell?
No.
No, you'd have to give up Odell in a second. I'm saying a third may not get it done.
Yeah.
I just think I think the Browns need a big-time player in the secondary. They don't have one legit, like, safety back there. I mean, they've got Denzel.
Dustin, could they just trade a first-rounder for Jamal Adams?
I think they need a receiver, man. They have, like, the worst receivers in football.
I hear you, but if they – the Jets, I mean, it may be that – I'm just saying, I'd rather just – in the end, if I could trade it like a first and a third or a first and a fourth or whatever, I'd rather trade that than Beckham. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately I would do it. But if I'd rather trade a first-round pick than trade Beckham.
Yeah,
I'm
with
both. That'd be ideal.
If I can sacrifice draft pick compensation to get him, I'd do it. Here's why. Because similar to the conversations we were having last year about, you know, trades and using first-round picks, you know, my expectation is that pick's going to be a late round first pick. You know, if this team does what we all hope and expect that it is going to do, it lives up to those expectations under Stefanski, I wouldn't blink an eye in giving up a first round pick if I could get, a guy like Adams. And I agree with you 100%, Dustin. They absolutely need a marquee player on the back end of the defense.
Daryl, I mean, even if it were like last year, what did the Browns pick 10th in this draft? Was it 10th? I mean, even if it was the 10th pick in the draft, what's the odds you're getting a player better than Jamal Adams at 10?
Right. And you're in win now mode right now. Okay. This is no longer team building. This is no longer asset acquisition. This is no longer planning for the future. This is about winning football games now, today. And I'm all about moves that help them win today. And if that means I got to give up a first-round pick now to do it, so be it.
Darryl, what's the biggest weakness on this team?
I think I hate to say this, but I would probably say I wouldn't say weakness, Dustin. I would say my biggest concern and question is the linebackers. Like Mac Wilson's going into his second year. Sione Takitaki is an unknown quantity. You know, they bring in BJ this offseason. I don't know what they really truly have at linebacker. And that is, to me, the gaping hole. I think they fixed the offensive line. You can talk about maybe receiver depth behind the top three guys. But when you're talking starters, I got a lot of questions about those linebackers.
We're talking with Dangerous Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. Daryl, so today the unfortunate news, not surprising, but unfortunate that the Hall of Fame game gets canceled. There's, you know, certainly a possibility that there'll only be two preseason games this year.
Right.
Dustin is concerned that the cancellation of the Hall of Fame game is the start of maybe the season being pushed back. Do you have those same concerns?
Yeah, I'm concerned is they're even going to play this year. That's why I asked Stefanski today where he was at in that regard. I think it's legit to have that conversation. I'm not trying to raise alarms. I'm not, you know, trying to be panicky or whatever, but I think it's legit to ask, can they even play this year?
Yeah. I think it's Daryl. I think my opinion. Again, this is coming from someone that Dustin knows has been as cautious, very cautious about everything.
Right.
And I'm very, you know, I'm not doing any. I'm not going anywhere where I'm hanging out and being with people at all. You know, I mean, I'm going to the stores in and out, but that's it. You know, I'm not going to restaurants and sitting there. I'm not doing any of that. But I think there's only two ways we don't have a football season this year, and I think both of these things are very unlikely. One, a player dies from coronavirus. Dies.
Right.
Which is, again, very unlikely, unless it happened to be a player with pre-existing conditions, maybe he doesn't know about them, whatever. I mean, it'd be an extreme circumstance. First of all, right. The odds of dying from it are obviously very small, and the odds of a 20 or 30-something-year-old athlete dying from it are, you know, probably minuscule. But if that remote thing happened, I think that would certainly shut down potentially all sports. The only other thing is a coordinated kind of federal stoppage of, like, from a federal government saying no games, and that's just not going to happen. Not you know, right. Not right now. That's not happening. So both those things are very unlikely. So that's why I think they're going to play, even if there's a ton of cases.
Yeah, well, they are proceeding business as usual. You know, looking at some of the tweets from a couple of the national guys that I guess had a conference call with some of the NFL officials today, they're clearly moving forward. You know, they're gonna tarp off the first couple of rows of stands and turn those into television advertisements for teams. You know what I mean? They are moving full steam ahead. That they are going to play no matter what. To your point, Bull, about it will take an extreme circumstance for them to stop. And this goes back to what the NBA debated. I'm sure the NHL debated, and I'm sure Major League Baseball's debated it and are still debating. And that is there is an acceptable threshold now that there are going to be positive tests. Like I think it's almost impossible not to expect that there's going to be positive tests.
I mean,
the question is how do you deal with it?
Right. To your point, Daryl, I mean, I think back when we first started going into the shutdown, like in late March, and remember in the beginning there was like a list of, oh, only 22 states have coronavirus. Will it go into every other state? And we were right. And now you're like, oh, my God, that was ridiculous to think it wouldn't go to every state. It's the same thing. Like, every team is going to end up at some point or the other, especially as they all first get together, you're going to have players on every team get coronavirus. Not that it's not meaningful. It is. But we shouldn't be surprised by it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, you know, it becomes what are the protocols? How do you contain it? What are the player substitution rules? You know what I'm saying? How long does the player have to be out? You know, if you have a bit of a breakout on a team where two or three or four or five guys get it, does that mean the team can't play? I mean, there are just a lot of, you know, unknown questions. And that was one of the things that I took away from the conversation with Kevin Stefanski today is, you know, we're asking him these, you know, very legitimate questions. And he certainly was respectful and understanding, but quite frankly, he didn't have any answers, you know,
right.
Ask him, hey, what is training camp going to look like when you guys open up? I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know. We're working through it. Whatever they tell us, we're ready, you know, we'll, you know, abide by and be ready to proceed. Are you going to start on time? Don't know. Players going to report on time? Don't know. So, you know, there's just so many unknowns right now. And like I said, scary's not the correct word, but I guess the interesting aspect of this whole thing is it's June 25th and they're going to report in a month. Quarterbacks report. Guys coming off injuries report July 24th. Everybody else reports on the 28th. Those are the dates right now. And here we are on June 25th. We have more questions than we do answers. I think that the preseason getting cut in half, that's pretty much a given at this point. The fact that they canceled the Hall of Fame game and festivities today, not a great sign. But there's just a lot of questions. And like I said, Kevin Stefanski, when we were asking him, he himself, he's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He's one of 32, and he doesn't have these answers yet. And that just, I think, speaks volumes as to where we're at in this process.
Daryl, do you have any idea how you're going to be able to cover this team this season? You know, Bull and I were kind of speculating that maybe they set up a media center like outdoors or in the indoor facility with you guys spread out, because there's no way they're going to put you guys in that room.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard some things that have been thrown around. The Pro Football Writers, which I'm a member of, we're you know, working behind the scenes to ensure that we still, you know, get the access. But I'll be honest with you, Dustin, it would not shock me if they lowered the capacity in the press boxes to socially distance everyone and minimize the amount of people in the building for games. Certainly travel will be limited.
Does that mean no more Andy Roth play-by-play in the press box?
I don't know.
He has 11 points.
He might be essential personnel, though. So the thing that I'm already preparing myself for, though, is that the face-to-face interaction with players just is going to be there. Like, I'm anticipating that every interview that gets conducted is going to be conducted through Zoom or a video conferencing type of situation. I think that that is very, very realistic. And that's, like I said, that's what I'm preparing for.
All right, Daryl. Good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it, guys. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.